Throughout the summer, the lectionary is taking us through a cycle of stories telling the saga of David, one of the most complicated figures of the Hebrew Bible. We began the cycle with Saul being crowned king over Israel, even though God warned the people that this was a terrible plan. God was right, and David was picked to be the future king. David became invaluable to King Saul for his military leadership. King Saul and his son Jonathan, whom David loved, died in battle, and David composed a beautiful song of complex lament for them both. Last week, David was crowned as king, and now he has brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, which is now called the City of David. The Ark of the Covenant is a wooden chest covered in gold that contains the two stone tablets engraved with the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. It is the single holiest object in the Bible. It is so holy that it is veiled in skins and purple cloth, so that even the box itself can't be looked at casually. It's so holy that it was placed in its own tent when the Israelites wandered the wilderness, and there are very specific instructions for carrying it from place to place. If the film Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark is any indication, the Ark is so holy and so powerful that if you try to open the box, your face will melt off. Should a Harrison Ford action-adventure movie be considered a credible source in regards to the importance and power of the Ark of the Covenant? Well, no. But my point is that the Ark is a big deal, and also that is a great film that you should see. By bringing the Ark to Jerusalem, David is declaring that the Ark of God and the people of God have found a permanent home. Someday, a temple would be built to house the Ark in the city, but David will not live to see it completed. It's not the wooden chest itself or the gold that covers it, and it's not even the tablets themselves that inspire awe. It's the physical proof that God came down to us, made a covenant with us, promised to be there for us. God isn't just some theological concept vaguely existing in the sky. God is real and present and traveled with the Israelites through the wilderness and dwelled alongside them in every place where they lived. And now God is in the parade, dancing alongside David, dancing towards a new home. The Ark was with the Israelites, but more importantly, God was with the Israelites every step of the way. When I started outlining themes for the summer based on the lectionary readings, I didn't know when we would be transitioning from worshiping entirely at home to worshiping both at home and here in the sanctuary. Even so, I love that today's story from the life of David is a story about dancing into a new city that has become a new home, a place of hope and infinite possibilities. But even as we look toward the future with a new understanding of what it means to be community, I can't help but remember the last time we gathered together in the sanctuary, on March 15th, 2020, and the story that we read that day. Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from John, excerpts from chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Hear now the word of the Lord. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But the hour is coming and is here now, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth, for God seeks such as these. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. The Samaritan woman has gone to the well about noon, the hottest part of the day. It would have been easier to go earlier in the day or later in the evening, but she has chosen the time of day when she will be alone, perhaps to avoid the company of other women who don't quite accept her. But Jesus finds her there anyway, because Jesus will always find us, anywhere. There is nowhere you could go that he would not find you. On that Sunday in March last year, I noticed a line that might not have stuck out to me under different circumstances. The woman left her water jar and went back to the city. Even with the living water that Jesus offers, the Samaritan woman will still need to draw regular water from the well every day. She needs the jar, but in her excitement, she leaves it behind. But she leaves it with Jesus, and so of course the water jar is perfectly safe. She can trust that it will be there when she returns. She can trust that the promise won't evaporate like water in the desert sun. The presence of Jesus and the promise of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, they will all be there. They will be with her as she returns to the city. They will be with her as she tells people about having met the Messiah. They will be with her when she returns to the well and retrieves the jar. They will be with her. they have been with us. The church has always been more than a building, and we never stopped worshiping together and joining our voices in prayer and song. We may call a church building a house of God, but God doesn't have just one home. God lives in your soul, and God has been with you everywhere that you have ever gone. Jesus tells us that there would come a day when we would worship God neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem. We don't need to be in any particular holy place, because all of the earth beneath our feet is holy, and God is always with us. It wasn't about the place. It was about the prayers we offered there. Even so, even though we, like the Samaritan woman, left the jar and went back to our homes, just like the Samaritan woman, we have returned to find it safe. Even though we have been worshiping together all along, and even though God was with us, and even though we don't have to be in any particular place in order for our prayers to be heard, it's good to be home.